Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans and John Robinson's press conference from yesterday. A lot of interesting tidbits in that press conference. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Robbie, good morning. What's happening?
Not a whole lot, my man. Hope you're staying safe out there with the weather out there. And Steve, obviously a very interesting press conference yesterday from John Robinson. I want to start with Isaiah Wilson and the comments that Robinson had. So there's been no contact from him and Isaiah Wilson since, you know, a couple months ago when he was placed on the non-football illness list. And just what do you make of this situation right now with Isaiah Wilson? Do you think at this point maybe he's a lost cause? And how close do you think the Titans are to giving up on him completely?
To me, Robbie, that was certainly the lead of yesterday's press conference, because so many other variables are out there for the salary cap and what the team may or may not be able to do moving forward. But Isaiah Wilson's kind of a concrete case at this point. And I've wondered for a while whether Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the Titans may just be ready to part ways already with the first-round draft pick because of everything that happened last fall, but we hadn't really gotten that indication other than the fact that they put him on the non-football reserve list, and it sort of seemed like, okay, they're going to allow him to work this out. However that's going to happen, away from the team, he's going to hopefully get some help, and we still hope he's going to get some help personally for himself. But yesterday, to me, was the first real indication that John Robinson may just be ready to move on from it, because the idea that he hasn't even talked to him since then doesn't give me any hope that Isaiah Wilson has taken this time to really rehab himself and make himself more focused on football and coming back to help the team. And so if that hasn't happened by now in mid-February, why would I believe that that's going to happen by mid-April when the team is supposed to return for off-season program, whatever that's going to look like this year, or even by August when the training camp would begin for next season? So at this point, it just looks like Isaiah Wilson is a huge bust. And I think if you're John Robinson and the Titans, you have to just assume that you're not going to get anything out of him moving into 2021. And if you do, if somehow he does make amends and come back to the team and can be a contributing factor for the Titans, then you just count that as a blessing into next season. But I don't think you can count on it right now.
No, I agree, Steven. Beyond the strong words from John, I think you're right. I mean, I think that little nugget of information that there hasn't been a conversation directly is really telling and troubling. And, I mean, again, that conversation to me should be initiated by Isaiah Wilson. But obviously it's not in the spot they want it to be. So I think you're right. Regardless of cutting him and how that might all go and what's the financial implication there, I agree with you. I mean, how can you really, in the 2021 season, expect to get anything from him? If you look at it that way, then does that, in your mind, alter at all what the Titans should be doing this offseason in terms of free agency or draft on the offensive line, knowing that, you know, Dennis Kelly is getting up there? He had a good year in 2020, but he's not a long-term option over there.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about Dennis Kelly after what happened last year. I certainly think you would look long and hard about having another tackle on the roster, whether that's bringing a Ty Sam Brilo back or another guy out there who would be like him, because obviously we saw how important that position was and having a ready backup to go in there last year. But I don't know if you have to go out and certainly draft a first-round tackle like they did last year, because I think there are just so many other issues on this team. So I don't know if it's a first and foremost thing for me, but I am definitely at the point where, look, if you don't think you're going to get anything from him, it may be time in the not too distant future to just completely cut ties with Isaiah Wilson, say this was a failed experiment. Because here's the other thing, is even if somehow he does straighten himself out, you're talking about a guy who played four snaps this year, and one was on a field goal block, basically, and the other three were kneel downs. So he's played no meaningful football at the NFL level. And yes, he was a first round pick. And yes, he seemingly has all the size and skill and intangibles that you would want if he's right on the football field. But he has no experience at this point. And we watched this a couple years ago with Nate Davis. And granted, Nate Davis isn't a first round draft pick, but it took him more than a month to work his way really into the lineup. I'd say it took him another month to 2 months of his rookie season to really feel like he was a productive member of that offensive line. So how long would that take with Isaiah Wilson now? And again, he's the first round pick. He has more talent, but you're also talking about all the baggage. You're talking about a lack of experience on the field. You're going into year two. There's going to be a ton of pressure on him if he ever does come back. So what can you really count on him for? And right now, I think it's nothing. You cannot count on him for anything.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Steve, we've had a lot of debate here on the show about J.J. Watt. Some Titans fans want to pursue him at all costs. Some Titans fans don't want anything to do with him based on the injury history that he has. And John Robinson yesterday confirmed there has been contact, at least, with J.J. Watt. So what do you think J.J. Watt has left in the tank? And what are you comfortable with from a numbers perspective of pursuing J.J. Watt if you're the Titans? Like, what's your line that you draw in terms of the dollar amount that you'd be comfortable with going?
Oh, man, I hate doing the dollar amount thing, Robbie, only because we don't know exactly what the salary cap even is at the moment, and that, to me, is a huge factor here. And I don't think we got much of an indication of John Robinson's plans yesterday, frankly, for that reason. One of the other questions I was really intrigued by is how much he wanted to go after Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, because I think both of those guys are key parts to the Titans offense. And what we saw this year, and obviously the offense is what drove the bus this year for the Titans. And he wasn't really willing to commit too much to either of those guys yesterday. He did say that, you know, they were going to be fair and they were going to go after those guys, but he compared it to Jack Conklin from a year ago in terms of saying, look, you put yourself in a position where other teams are going to go after you and you're going to have a decision to make, and we're going to pursue you and we're going to be fair, but you may ultimately have to make a decision to go somewhere else. And we know what happened with Conklin. So to me, that wasn't overly encouraging based off not knowing the salary cap for what that might mean for Smith or Davis. So anyway, that gets back to your J.J. Watt question. I don't know what to give you on a dollar sign. It cannot be a monster deal. But if Watt is willing to come in and play a part on a team that he thinks he can win with, I'm totally intrigued by the possibilities there. And I don't think J.J. Watt is going to be the defensive player of the year. You're not going to get that type of a performance out of him. But he's a big guy with great wingspan and length. And I think if you could put him up front, I think he's the type of disruptor that could go a long ways for this team. Not necessarily because he's going to get you 10 sacks next year, but because if you put him on that, you know, front, essentially, how much does that free up Jeffrey Simmons? How much does it take his game to the next level? How much does it help a guy like Harold Landry become a more dominant pass rusher in a one-on-one situation from the outside? I think the answer to both of those questions is it helps immensely. So if you can work something out that's reasonable with J.J. Watt under the new cap, I'm absolutely intrigued. And I thought it was very interesting that Robinson said that they had already had some conversations there. So we don't know exactly if there's mutual interest. We don't know what that dollar figure would have to be to get Watt. But if the Titans could get it done, I think that's absolutely the type of veteran physical presence up front that could make a huge difference for this Titans defense.
Well, you bring up a good point there about his comment, Steve, on the offensive guys, Davis and Jonnu Smith. You're right. I mean, I guess initially I kind of took that as, yeah, he's just not going to say much, you know, but I would assume they would go after them. But maybe, especially because he did compare to Conklin, maybe that is an indication that they feel like, you know, Henry, Brown, Tannehill, and, you know, maybe you have to go cheaper to help out and draft at receiver. I wonder if that also is an indication that defensively they feel like they can't they can't sacrifice the few good performing players on that side of the ball. And I'm thinking in particular, about Malcolm Butler, who I thought was very good last year on a bad defense, but also carries a $14.2 million cap hit this year, which is third on the team. I don't know if I'm taking that too far, but maybe I guess that could be part of the answer, right? Is that they just feel like they've got to invest in defense and sacrifice some of the offense and still expect it to be good?
I think that's a fair way to look at it, Joe. He didn't explicitly say that yesterday, but you do have to wonder. The Titans had probably the best offense in the history of the franchise this year. I would at least make that argument. And look where it got them. Yes, it won 11 games. Yes, it won the division. But they go out in the first weekend of the playoffs, only scoring 13 points, by the way, in that game. And meanwhile, the defense drug them down the entire season. And so there absolutely has to be changes on that side of the ball. Can you do it while keeping that offense intact or mostly intact? I don't know what the answer to that is, but they're going to have to find that balance because there's no question the defense has to get better. I don't see how you can part ways with Malcolm Butler, and I know it's $14.2 million, but especially given the fact that Adoree Jackson last year, because of the injury, did not look like the Adoree Jackson that finished the season 2 years ago that looked so promising and, frankly, like a lockdown corner, I don't know how you can get rid of Malcolm Butler and just hope that Adoree moves back to that position. I think the one guy that I look at in the secondary that may be a cap casualty would be Kenny Vaccaro. And that's a weird thing to say too, because I think he's been really, really good for this Titans team. But the thing the Titans have there is they have a Monty Hooker in the pipeline. And I think he's played really well and he's much cheaper at this point. And also, by the way, Dane Cruikshank has been a valuable guy for the Titans who went through injuries all of last year as well. But he's young. He also doesn't cost a lot of money. And as a third safety, you may think of him as a potential option back there. So I could see that move possibly being done. But given the fact that Christian Fulton and Chris Jackson, you didn't get a lot of them. Obviously, Desmond King is a free agent himself. And then the situation with Adoree Jackson's injury. I just don't know if you can make that move with Malcolm Butler right now.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Steve, appreciate your time as always, brother. Great stuff, and be safe out there with the weather coming today.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys too. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Steve.
Absolutely. Steve Lehman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Steve had to say there and get back into the Isaiah Wilson conversation as well. Is he a lost cause at this point for the Tennessee Titans? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.